Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, seriously, I was ready to go the last 2 weeks, but you were the one who couldn't go, co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you, sir?
That's half of you, half of me, bud.
No, yeah, well, this is all me the last two Mondays, man. So I'm taking full credit for that. Yes, and you know, while we're there, then we might as well get into all right. So it's before we do anything else, we want to remind you guys that we are sponsored by one of our favorite stores in the world. We are sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge someday if COVID ever decides to really get the hell out of here, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Galleria in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's Game Store is the absolute best place in gaming. Now, they have a great website. You can check it out at KGS Online. That's Kite Go Samuel Online.com. And if you use the promo code at checkout, Plains Talkers, you'll get 5% off your order, which I use to order my collector boosters. So, of Strixhaven. So, yes, absolutely. Highly recommend it. That's Plains Talkers. Go check it out. In fact, here's the thing. You know, a little bit of news there. So, I don't know how many he's got left.
Breaking news.
But Steve is actually doing a test of playing online. So they are setting up an arena tournament. I do believe it's a $20 buy-in, but if you go 4-0, you get a box. If you go 3-1, you get 18 booster packs of, not Kaladesh, damn it, Kaldheim.
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 Instead of artifacts, it's snow.
Yeah, yes. Instead of artifacts, it's snow. And instead of, like, really, really cool cards, it's really cool
cards. Vorinclex.
Yes, it's Vorinclex. So, but that you can find at their gear website, or you just go to their website and there's a link to it. They only have spots for 16 people. I'm signed up. Aramis, did you sign up?
I'm signed up, and when I signed up, there were still 13 slots, but you know that was a couple of days ago.
So if you want in on that, man, a 1 in 16 shot at, well, actually, if you think about it, in, well, how many people could go 4-0?
Well, 8 people could win, and then if you imagine those, then 4 of those would win, and then 2 of those would win.
Right.
So probably only one person.
No, I think 2. I think more. 16 people.
Well, it goes from 8. It depends on how. If it's 4 rounds, so it'll go
right.
16 undefeated. There'll be 8 undefeated after round 1.
Right.
4 undefeated after round 2. 2 undefeated after round 3. They'll play each other.
Yeah, you're right. So just one winner, and yeah. Wow, that. So it is kind of like a tournament. So yes.
So yeah, definitely, it'll be like one person gets a box, and I think maybe 2, possibly 3 people get 18 packs.
Yeah, and I think he's also doing some door prizes and stuff too, if he can fill it out, he said. So definitely go check that out. It's kgsonline.com is their website. Highly recommend that. We also want to take a second to recognize our Planeswalker level patrons. Brian, David, Jonathan, Johnny, Bell, Anthony, Steve, Mark, George, Josh, Zach, Ian, and Randy. These guys really do keep our show running. We couldn't do it without them. We're so thankful for them. So can't say enough thank you to you guys. I am working on a big thing for the 1 year club. We do have a few guys who have been with us from jump, and so I'm going to get something out to them soon. I really want to thank you guys for that. You know, being a patron, you get a few things. You get a spot at the table on Wednesdays if you want at our playcast. All you need is a webcam and a commander deck, and to tell you the truth, we'll take almost anyone. But check out Patreon.com/Planestalkers to find out all you're entitled to by joining, or just to help the show out. Really, it does. Finally, FeedSpot is a top 25. We are a top 25 MTG podcast on their website. It's a good place to go. It's blog.feedspot.com/magic_the_gathering_podcast. I do believe we're still at number 14. Finally, we want to say we are proud to be the flagship podcast for the Planeswalkers network of podcasts. Our sister show, Commander Craft, actually started recording some episodes. They did have some more technical issues. We're going to have to get together with them. But we're going to work on that and try to get together and try to get them a little more stabilized. But they're coming soon. So make sure that you find them just anywhere you would look for the podcast. Twitch, Facebook, Carrier Pigeon, Smoke Signals. Just look up Commander Craft MTG. All right, and you can definitely do it. And those guys are heavily involved in our playcast on Wednesdays, obviously. So, and don't forget, we want to remind you to come back Wednesday night when Aramis and I are playing two other people in our playcast where we're playing Paper Commander. So all you need is a webcam and a commander deck. Justin, I know you have one, so I'm just saying. Anyone's no welcome. So just let us know, especially since it might keep Steve from playing his damn blue deck. Actually, I think Steve has to play this week because he didn't play last week. We only got one game in last week, didn't we?
Yeah, the world blew up a bunch of times, and then we really were focusing on trying to kill Valky and Tybalt.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But it was a good game.
It was a good game.
I was the first one to die, but I actually had a lot of fun.
And, of course, it's untap, and Justin, I don't work at your place anymore, so I can do this now. All right. And I'm drinking tonight one of my favorites, Elysian Space Dust.
Nice.
Yes. A lovely IPA. I do believe it's 8.2%. So bottoms up.
Yeah, so we're doomed. Awesome.
So Aramis, it's been a hot minute, man. How the hell are you?
I'm employed again.
Yay! Woohoo! Yay!
Today was actually my first day of work at my new job. Super excited about, you know, it was orientation, so it was, you know,
how
painful.
Now, how are your inner thighs? I mean, the chafing and all that. I've heard that a lot of pole dancers have issues with that, like their first day.
You know, you would think that, but with all the Vaseline they put on the poles. But no, it's been good. Obviously, I'm not going to say who I'm working for because right. reasons. You know, it's they hooked me up with a bunch of stuff, and I got it all set up today. I got, you know, my home office is a little more crowded because there's basically a second workstation in here because I can't use any of my computers, my personal computer stuff for work and vice versa.
Right.
But I'm super excited and, yeah, ready to go.
Now, I'll talk to you offline. There's a tool I use that's pretty cool. I might even just give you the access to it. It's called Synergy. What it's cool is that it lets you use your own one keyboard and mouse to control two different computers. So, like, for you, that would be great because you could have your work and your personal computers up at the same time and on your personal computer be watching, you know, stuff. And then on the other one, yeah. So,
well,
yes.
I mean, like, the way that it's...
We have a very important...
And now, breaking news.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, babe.
Yes.
So, no, but the way that it's set up, like, I literally just go, like, over here. And this is my other workstation. You can't see it. But
Wait. Do it again. Right, come closer. Now. Here. Far. Here. Far.
I'm over here.
And if any of you now have I'm never watched here. Sesame Street, you did not get that joke. And that's something you need to watch in the video. Sorry. Yes, it's been a hot minute since we've been on the air.
Yeah, we're a little jumpy.
Yes. Well, I mean, dude, the last 2 weeks, it's been weird. I have been fighting this week one, it was a stomach bug. There's nothing I could do about it. It, you know, it was a flare-up.
I thought you flipped your car 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wait, that was what happened. 2 weeks ago was the car spinning out of control, and yes.
In
I'm
half
okay.
An inch of snow.
I'm okay. No, that was a lot of snow up here, dude. I don't care where
you were.
Oh, that's
right. You're in the middle of actual nowhere.
Yeah. So there was plenty of snow, and I did spin out. I was okay, but, you know, it shook me up a bit. Last week was just flat-out stomach bug / sinus. Like, it turned into a sinus infection over this past weekend. So I'm medicated to my hilt. But, you know, I'm healthy now and all that. And it's not COVID, so that's a plus. So... but otherwise, I mean, you know, and I mean, dang it, there was magic stuff going on. So I'm excited to be back. What about you? Other than the job, anything new and exciting? Any haps?
You know, I did some drafts.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of casual magic, cursing at the sky for people who bring meta into the casual queues, but you know, whatever. I bring my singleton deck and they're bringing freaking, you know, red deck wins, and it's like, all right, fine, I see how it is.
Well, some people just need to feel like they have a big,
yeah,
nose.
They need to get validation by stomping on someone, like not necessarily me, but there's, you know, some like 13-year-old kid who like barely has 60 cards and they're playing that queue and you're running in there with like Tybalt's trickery decks, and it's like, all right, okay.
Well, no, that's where you want a Tybalt's trickery deck. To be fair, man, like Tybalt's trickery is kind of janky jank jank. Like,
Yeah, but it was like Tybalt's trickery into Emergent Ultimatum into Vorinclex Ugin and something else.
Well, yeah, because it's janky. I get that. I can get behind
you
that.
Know, these
That's
kids
never
going
to win competitively.
These kids don't have 50 mythic wild cards to spend on that. You know, they might have two rares in their collection.
But to be fair now, okay, like, not that this is combat, but to be fair, like, that's where that stuff should happen. You can't competitively play.
No,
with,
yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, you know, it could be, there should be, like, another, like, there should be a play queue and then, like, a super casual play queue where it's, like, you know, a certain percentage of rares or whatever. You know, there should be, like, power levels. And some of the people roll in there with, like, these mono-white Soul Sister life gain decks that, like,
oh,
historic totally crush you in turn five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, all right.
That's something we have to add to the list. Historic Anthology.
Oh, yeah.
The announcement of that.
That's a thing.
Yeah, so I'll put that in the second area. But I get what you're saying. You know,
but other than that, you know, it's been good. I'm looking forward to the event with that Kerwin's is running. If you haven't signed up and there's still room, go ahead, kgsonline.com. It's give me an excuse to look at Standard. I found the deck that I'm going to play. I just have to practice it.
$50 says it involves the word Sultai in control.
You're half right, but I'm not going to tell you what half.
you're the absolute worst, all right?
Yeah. You are actually half right, but I'm not telling you what half you're right on.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I'm sure it's obnoxious and annoying. I was going to play mono red, but I'm thinking that's not going to be the best deck. I gotta go back to the drawing board myself and figure out what
to play. Try Naya Adventures. That's I was good. Thinking the about Naya, it. The Naya Fling crew... whatever the cow,
yeah,
the one that you throw the creatures at guys.
Fling,
yeah, but there's the one for Kazool.
Kazool, oh,
yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's yeah. So that's the stuff. I think that's pretty much our untapped phase. Let's let you guys know what we're going to be talking about tonight. So tonight we want to talk about. There were some announcements in the last couple of weeks. Wow, already slurring jeepers. About changes coming to Magic. We're going to talk about Universe Beyond. We're going to talk about Wizards spinning off into their own division and what that could possibly mean. Combat is going to be about Universe Beyond. We just all kind of feel like that's a thing. And then Main 2, State of Standard, talk about all new decks and things going on. And hold on a second. All right. Main 2, we're going to talk about some of the new decks going on, things about that, and then we'll discuss Historic Anthology 4, maybe even talk a little bit about the Playcast League that's been going on. So that's going to be our show tonight. Why don't we get right into the main phase?
Main phase.
All right, main phase. So last week, or might have been 2 weeks ago now, I think it was last, well, I think it was like 10 days ago.
Something like that.
There was the big call from Wizards where they kind of talked about their profitability and stuff and Hasbro call. And they talked about a lot of the changes they want to do with, you know, Wizards and stuff. Because here's, I mean, basically what happened was Wizards is making a boatload of money. Like, it's
more
doing
than the rest
well.
Of their entire game division, I think it
yes.
was.
So basically with Arena, it's mainly Arena and some of its Commander.
Literally printing money.
Yeah. So they're talking about it, and the first thing that they kind of announced is they're going to spin Wizards off into its own division. It's still going to be under the Hasbro banner, which I'm like, it wasn't already, but apparently this is a big deal.
So the way that it kind of works, when it was what it was before, like a subsidiary, they had a little bit more autonomy as to what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's the reverse. They didn't have quite as much autonomy. Now that they're a division, they have somewhat more autonomy.
Okay.
To do what they sort of want to, but now there's fewer bosses that they report to, but the bosses they do report to have more power.
Right.
Because they're a bigger deal now. They've become a little bit bigger, which on one hand is great. On the other hand, could be troubling because they're more corporate than they were before.
Right. And that's,
I guess it's the way to say it, but I mean, and, it could be read a couple different ways depending on how exactly they're structured.
And we've been talking about that for weeks now about like corporate and what it means and things of that nature. Oh wow, Justin's in the chat. I didn't realize that. You know, and yeah, that's a big deal. You know, when the suits get involved and profit happens, things can go sideways. And all of a sudden you have cards like Oko being printed. Like, a lot of people I've heard are kind of blaming that type of stuff here. The power ramp and the power level being amped up, you know, was meant to kind of get them here. Right. Now, nobody knows that for sure. It's a bunch of people kind of talking into their hat. Because I don't think anybody can know. That's you know, corporate information. That's private corporate information. It's literally what it's for. Yeah. So how the hell can they know? How the hell can we know? You can't. That being said, yeah, I mean, this is a little bit scary in that, you know, when I don't think there's been an example throughout history where when corporate America takes notice of something that's kind of cool and indie and kind of like, you know, its own thing, like the minute corporate America gets involved, like it just goes to hell and it becomes something without any soul. Rock and roll is a prime example. Like, look at rock and roll of the 50s and 60s and look at rock and roll of the late 70s, early 80s. You know, things of that nature. The minute the music industry became the music industry, things went sideways and artists started finding themselves having to sell out more and things of that nature. And yeah, you know, it's tough. And it's scary to see that happening. And I mean, independent cinema is another one. The minute Miramax became, you know, a subsidiary of Disney, shit went sideways. Yeah. You know, it's a scary, scary thing, I think. What about you? What's on you?
Well, I mean, Wizards has been under the control of Hasbro for a good long while now. So, I mean, it's not a new thing that they have corporate overlords and they're worried about shareholders and profit margins, you know, quarterly statements and things of that nature.
Of course,
that are actually up my alley. But this, them moving to become a division, I mean, on the one hand, that's great news for Wizards. That means Wizards of the Coast is doing fantastically.
Yes.
Speaking of, have you seen their new logo?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
No, honestly.
It's about as generic as it, and that's the one thing that tells you when somebody's gone corporate, their logo gets generic. It gets like very cookie cutter, copy paste. You know, they throw a little lens flare in there for effect. But I mean, where's the shooting star? You know, that was the best part of their logo, was that little shooting star.
I mean, let me see if I can bring this up on the screen so that people can see it. Because all I could think of, and I understand that this means that...
it looks like the title of a movie. It looks like a movie poster.
I can tell you exactly what it looks like. Hold on.
While you dig for that, I'll basically just say, you know, it's good for them that they're doing well enough that Hasbro says, here, you can have your own division.
Right.
But at the same time, it means that they're, like I said before, they're more corporate than they were before. So that could be bad. It could be good. It's going to depend on which people are actually calling the shots. Here's a hint. It's never been Mark Rosewater, and it never will. But
which I can live with.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But the first big announcement that they came out with as the new division, which we're going to be talking about here in a minute, we're gonna have to talk about that, because I'll just bury the lead a little bit from my perspective. I hate it.
Right. I can't blame you for hating it. I'm not
maybe
a big
hate's
fan
too
either.
Strong of a word, but I don't understand it, I guess.
So this is the logo for. Hold on, let me see here. Oh, I know what's going on. I'll fix this later, but I'll fix this in post. That's what's going on. Is I have.
You got technical wizardry behind the scenes here at the Plane Stalkers podcast.
So as you can see here on the screen, all right, this is the logo for Spider-Man and his amazing friends. This is the logo for, where'd it go? Damn it. This is not fun. I can't believe I didn't think this was going to happen though. And this is the logo for Wizards of the Coast. Yeah. Spider-Man and his amazing friends, Wizards of the Coast. Are you seeing it? Like, I was.
I'm not, but I've looked at the logo enough to be like,
when I saw it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 1980. And by the way, Spider-Man and his amazing friends, 1982.
I mean, it looks like with the way that they have like this, that ray of light coming out of the A, and like the way that everything's gradienting to a different, the darker shade. Like I said, it sort of looks like something you'd see out of a movie poster, you know, Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
They came ashore summer 2022.
Yeah. It's just, it's a little too corporate for me. And again, I'm not, I'm a capitalist, like make money. I get it. As long as you're making money off magic, magic will be around. However, I mean, the fact that they really cited Arena and not so much paper, how could you during a pandemic, okay?
Like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Right. But, I mean, there's this part of me, too, that's like, oh, what does this mean for paper? Like, the fear has always been from all of us, I think, what happens, you know, to paper. As Arena gets bigger, you know.
I would sprinkle a generous amount of salt on that right now, only because, again, the pandemic is such a thing,
right,
that it really skews everybody's numbers a certain direction.
Absolutely.
Because of the way things have been going on. So look 5 years from now and we'll see what happens.
Right. So, I mean, that's the big thing there. They have a new logo. And by the way, I have a friend who we may interview. She just graduated law school. She's someone I knew from back home who moved to Illinois with her new husband. Just graduated law school. Just got hired by Wizards. As a lawyer. Ooh. I know. I'm like, ooh, I want to interview you. Whatever we got to do. I'm like, you know, see if we can get some, like, secret tea or something. So, also just an incredibly cool gamer chick. So, she'll dig it.
It'll be good to get that perspective as a lawyer and a gamer working for Wizards.
Right. Well, honey, I would interview you, but you gave up on magic because Electraxa beat me.
Because you committed a war crime against her.
So let's move off of that, though. The other big news that came from this is they then started to talk about next year and more, and we all saw this coming after Walking Dead, of expanding outside of magic and using what they're calling Universe Beyond. Which, again, just has corporate synergy name behind. Like, somebody's sitting in an office somewhere going, it's like they're going to universes beyond their own. Universe Beyond! That's it! It's like...
Trademark that right now.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I drink.
I mean, you know, so obviously this happened. They announced this on February 25th.
Right,
so A week and a half ago. Almost 2 weeks ago. So we obviously haven't had a chance to talk about it. Everybody else under the sun has talked about it, but we kind of have to talk about it because this is huge.
Yeah. Plus, no new news. Wow, that was rough. No new news has come out in the past few weeks. So screw it. You're getting it. So here's what's going on. It's basically they've announced that within the next year or a year and a half or whatever, first of all, Warhammer 40K is going to be coming mainly to Commander. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what Warhammer is, it's basically models and D&D, and I don't even know what the hell Warhammer is.
Yeah, it's like a strategy game. Mm-hmm. You have different units. It's like military base. You have to like measure distances.
It's like playing Warcraft or Starcraft, but not on a computer using just models that you painted.
Basically, yeah, that's a pretty close analogy. instead of the computer doing the measuring and damage calculations for you, you have to do all that stuff. So, in that respect, I mean, I can totally relate and respect people who play and are really into Warhammer because it's sort of like how Magic, you're like, oh, well, it's like chess and this and this.
It's
but then you
stuff,
get into the details and you're like, holy crap, there's a lot that goes
plus
on.
Plus you get to paint your own things and you get to make
that, which
own.
Is, and some people have some amazing, amazing figures. I've never played
really
Warhammer.
Do.
I mean, I dabbled in Battletech a little bit when I was a kid, but this, you know, it looks like an entertaining game, but I ain't got the budget or the time for that.
Yeah, seriously, we're already in a cardboard crack. But they're going to use Warhammer for Commander. I don't think it's going to be this next. Is it this next Commander set? The big set?
No, the next set of Commander decks coming out are Strixhaven.
No, but I mean like the big five deck set.
That's Strixhaven.
Is it? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Strixhaven's going to have five.
Interesting. Okay, so this will be, again, probably 2022. And then they're going to work, and that I'm assuming that also has to be 2022, is Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. Okay, yes, it all kind of goes hand in hand. Lord of the Rings, I mean, you don't have Magic the Gathering without Lord of the Rings. You just don't. I get it. And you know what? elves would be great. You got to figure elves is going to be a deck. You know, dwarves. Wizards are going to be a deck. Warriors, orcs. Yeah. I mean, it's humans. They'll probably be a great human deck. I get it. All right. You got to figure. I mean, but hobbits, like, isn't there a creature already that was kind of hobbitish?
Kithkin.
Huh?
Kithkin.
Yitkin. So.
The Kithkin, yeah.
It's. This will get us into combat at some point. Mm-hmm. But I have feelings on this. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. When I first heard it, I was like, all right, yeah, this is cool. And then I started to think about it. And I started to think a little more about it. And then I got sidetracked, so I stopped thinking about it. But then I started thinking about it again when I was done being sidetracked. And, yeah. I'm a little concerned. I got to be honest with you. This is probably more corporate stuff. I get why, you know, other people, you know, I get why a Lord of the Rings set would be good. I can understand it. I can lore it in my head.
You can grok it.
Yeah, but.
Warhammer?
No, even Warhammer. I mean, they all kind of sit in the same boat. Like the D&D set coming up. I ain't got no problem with that.
Yeah.
But I just. Look, Magic is a great product. Magic is its own product, and it's good enough, but it seems like we're kind of, like, we're going to bring Lord of the Rings characters in, and we're going to bring Warhammer stuff into Magic, when in actuality, why the hell isn't Warhammer bringing Nyssa in? Why the hell isn't Warhammer, you know, like, Lord of the Rings, okay, I understand that, but if Lord of the Rings had an online role-playing game or anything like that,
they
like,
do.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not bringing, you know, Jason there. Like, it's almost like Wizards or Hasbro is saying, basically, like, our product's not good enough to really be expansive to the level we want it. So we're going to bring this other stuff in. And, you know, I guess maybe this does take us right to combat, you know, but you know what, let's do it just so we're being honest here.
Combat phase.
I feel that this is a mistake. I think that this is a misstep. I mean, where is the line get drawn? Am I going to be playing Green Lantern, you know, for 3 green mana and a white? I mean, like, where is the line going to get drawn? Do I have a Spider-Man card coming my way?
You're not that far off, I don't think. There was before this stuff was announced. I think this was after the D&D set was announced. The Cardboard Crack Comic put out an episode or an issue where the two guys are playing Magic, and the one guy says, "Okay, I cast Iron Man to do this," and he says, "Well, I counter with, you know, Bilbo Baggins, and I use my this guy uses his Repulsor Ray." Then the Iron Giant comes in, and then da 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 da, and the girl comes and says, "What are you guys doing?" They're like, "We're playing Magic, obviously." And we're here now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Gandalf the Grey is going to be a card.
Of course he is, and he should.
Yeah, but it's like, here's a couple of the problems that I have with Universe Beyond. One, obviously the D&D set should have been Universe Beyond now that they've announced this.
Yes,
in
absolutely.
Retrospect, because it's a separate universe. Magic is its own entity. I understand that it's a multiverse, and if you look at the theory of multiverses, obviously all possibilities are possible. Like, our universe technically exists in the Magic multiverse. It's just nobody's planes walked over here yet,
right,
and grabbed stuff.
But that'll come.
Yeah.
I play Hollywood Boulevard. Yeah, I mean, oh, God. Yeah, this might
Magic,
not be combat, because I don't
does,
think either of us are going to fight
we agree. We agree on this. We think this. I think this is a huge mistake too. Because think about this. Yes, Arabian Nights exists. There is Alibaba, Ali from Cairo, Library of Alexandria. Real world places, real world stories, put into Magic's universe, and they sort of retconned it into its own plane called Arabia. Ha! Original. But Magic was a different game back then than it is now. Doing this now smacks of a sellout.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that. I'm not going to go so far as to call it that. I'm just saying it has that look. And Magic's always been able to do its own spin on things. I mean, Innistrad was its own spin on, you know, goth horror.
Right.
Vampires, werewolves, you know.
Even Kaldheim is Norse mythology.
The Eldrazi is Cthulhu. It's cosmic horror.
Right.
Eldraine is old school King Arthur and fairy tales. You know, they have a Lady of the Lake, but it's the Lady of the Lock. They have Excalibur. It's Embercleave. You know, so they have their own versions of these things that they put their own spin on it, and it makes it Magic's flavor. It's like when somebody covers a song, but they do it in a way that makes it their own. Like when Disturbed covered Sound of Silence, they made it their own version of the song. It's a different song.
Or Sarah Bareilles. Oh my God, she did this version of an Elton John tune. Yellow Brick Road. If you ain't heard it, trust me, find it. Like,
yeah, there's people out there who cover songs from other artists, and you're like, holy, this, like, I wouldn't have known, A, that this was the other song, and then B, wow, this is amazing.
Right.
Magic does that with other properties, especially if they're open source, or, there's not, like, copyright issues. But I have a little bit of a problem with Bilbo Baggins showing up with the One Ring in, you know, the Wrath, like, in the Plane of Wrath.
It's one thing if they're going to do it the way they did Godzilla and Ikoria. All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you're going to skin another card, that's fine. But if you're going to put hobbits in this thing, like, this means that hobbits are only going to be for this one set. So you can't have a hobbit commander deck. Like, you can't, unless it's a precon. The fact is, it's just...
You'd have to do hobbits and changelings.
And then you've got to figure it's going to move toward... It's going to move, like, some, you know, this will come. Star Wars will come. Mm-hmm. There will be a Star Wars set.
Wheel of Time will probably come.
Well, maybe, because here's the thing. Everybody's like Marvel and Star Wars. I'm like, Disney, though, they don't like to play with others. DC, I could see. I could see Harry Potter. Harry Potter's owned by Warner Brothers.
Well, here's the thing. Strixhaven
is sort of
Magic's take on the whole Harry Potter magical school trope. But it's not Harry Potter.
Right.
What we've seen so far,
they're not school.
Says,
they're not houses. They're colleges.
They're not houses. They're colleges. And it's just the way that they're what we've seen so far. It's not Harry Potter. The big fear that some people had about Strixhaven doesn't appear to be coming to pass. It's Magic's version of that type of world, but it's not that world.
Right.
So we won't get an actual Harry Potter set because technically it's already been done.
No, actually, no. Please. If there's money in it, they'll do it.
Yeah, but the ramifications of directly copying that from that author
because
the problems that she has.
This is me slapping my vein because I'm sorry. Okay, if I'm going to sit there and say that there would be repercussions where we're going to make them pay for it in a wallet, we never have. Okay, the Double Master VIP sets sold out. We're all angry. But they sell out.
It's a different kind of anger. I'm talking about the anger about, you know, transphobic comments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's why Harry Potter's not going to happen in Magic anytime soon.
Well, I think you could separate Harry Potter from J.K. Rowling. I don't think you need to use... I mean, and for those of you that don't know, J.K. Rowling, wonderful author, wonderful, like, made this really great world, kind of a garbage person.
Terrible person. Great story, terrible person. The problem will be... Most of the consumer base, I believe, wouldn't be able to separate the two. And I have no problem with people
You're
not being able to separate
right,
the two.
You're probably right, because a lot, if you think about it, we have some non-cis trans people who are playing Magic. Autumn Burchett jumps to mind.
A very high profile, and it would be an extremely bad look for the now division of Hasbro, Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
It's going to get to that point where there's all these IPs coming in. It's going to be like Super Smash Brothers, but Magic the Gathering.
Well, that's just it. Now I'm worried. Here's what I'm really worried about, okay? Because Hasbro is going to take more of an interest in this, okay? Do you know what else Hasbro took very interest in a game that was very successful? And this is where I'm kind of concerned. And by the way, this isn't me. I listened to MTG Goldfish. They talked about it last week, but I couldn't agree more. Think about this. Hasbro did not always own Monopoly. Parker Brothers did. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden Hasbro acquired Parker Brothers. Now, how many Monopoly games are there? How many themed versions of Monopoly are there? And every time dilutes the original. Almost, every household I know has at least one copy of the original Monopoly, yes. but yet they also have, you know, we have two here. You know, it's like, I think we have Wizard of Oz Monopoly of all things. Like, I mean, there are many out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my fear, is that all of a sudden Magic's going to become this version of Monopoly where you want to play Lord of the Rings Magic? Here you go. And again, some people are like, well, look at what Catan does. And it doesn't dilute Catan. It doesn't dilute Catan. I do say it does dilute Monopoly. And I'm sorry, but Hasbro is an evil empire.
there is that risk. I mean, like, they've crossed a certain line now that we know that, I mean, unless they confirm otherwise, Drizzt Do'Urden is going to be a legendary creature in the Forgotten Realms set.
Yep.
You know, that his two swords will probably be artifact equipments. I wouldn't be surprised if they were. You know, all those different stories and characters in there, the Knight of the Black Rose, mm-hmm. might be in there as a legend. So we've already crossed a line with that. We've crossed another line with Universe Beyond. It's only going to be a matter of time until they have, you know, all the lines crossed. It's just, I understand the idea of trying to broaden the game to more people. I know that's what they said that they're trying to do. They want to get more people to play the game, and they're like, well, what better way than to play, you know,
characters, you know, yes.
You can play Legolas in your commander deck. Okay, that's fine. And they're making it so that, you know, they have the special stamp that the Walking Dead ones, the triangular ones, so they're not part of the regular universe yet. But they're going to be Legacy and Commander legal. So,
and like, here's the thing.
Like you were saying, if they skin them like they skin the Godzilla cards, I'd be like, I would be totally 100% fine with this.
Right, but when they're making unique cards that are uniquely playable and uniquely, here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. Okay, do you see any Rick decks out there? Any Negan decks? Like, nobody's playing.
No, they're being played in Commander. You know, they have. They're a niche card in Legacy Humans. They're not game breaking by any means, but the potential was there.
Right, and the potential
risk
is
was there,
it's
and
still
that's
there.
That's too much. That's too much to really accept until they print. And here's the thing: if they ever printed normal quote unquote Magic cards with those abilities, they'd have to Godzilla skin them in the reverse.
Yep.
To where it's still Rick's Steadfast Leader, but now it's some other mono white legend.
Mix Steadfast Follower.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know, it should have been something, and it is technically optional. You don't have to buy these, but then if they're any good, yes, you do.
Yeah, Nexus Dead. It's not like they're coming out as secret lairs. These are going to be sets.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it sounds to me like I could see the Lord of the Rings set being the not core set of 2022.
It's going to be a supplemental set. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, draftable.
No, I mean, it'll be core. It'll be standard legal. It'll be, but like,
no, they've already said these cards will not be standard
legal.
Well,
that'll be nice.
So it's going to be a supplemental set. So it's either going to take the place of like the Masters set or some other complementary set that they do during the year. One of the, you know, 17 sets they release, but it'll be draftable, I imagine. And if it's isolated in that experience, okay.
Yeah.
But the fact that you know, there might be cards that become Legacy or Commander staples, that's where you're going to run your problems.
They're saying it's not standard legal now.
Now, yeah, because of the different foil stamping.
Because
it's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. And that's just it. 2022 gives them enough time. I could see them saying, no, the Lord of the Rings is too big of a property. It needs to be standard legal. I could see it happening.
And here's the thing too, if they think this is going to be big enough, what's to stop them from saying this Lord of the Rings set is simply the Fellowship of the Ring? That's going to have its own expansion for the Two Towers, and then have its own expansion for Return of the King.
Wow.
And then, oh wait, by the way, we have two prequel sets coming out for The Hobbit, Scoops. The Desolation of Smaug, you know, all that stuff. You know, there's nothing that would stop them from doing that if this is at all successful. Which, spoiler alert,
it will
sell out.
Yeah,
it will sell out. Will I buy any of this?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, we're hooked on the game, and if the cards are any good, we're going to have to.
I'm not a fantasy guy. Like, I admit this, okay? Yeah, I'll do D&D and stuff. I liked Lord of the Rings. I've seen all the movies. I saw all the extended editions. They're great. I saw them twice, I think. That's it. I don't have any real desire to see them again.
Well, it also takes you 2 years to watch one movie.
Right, but So, yeah, you make a Lord of the Rings set. I'll probably still buy it just because I'm a completist and things like that. Now, if you make a Star Wars set, motherfucker, I'll have, like, the collector's edition, the set booster, the main booster, the foil stamped sheet, it doesn't matter. I want myself that Darth Vader and Star Wars.
I just wish they printed them like they did the Godzilla cards. I don't see
and
any
I don't
reason
think they're going to.
Not to. You know, like you could print a normal version of the set, make the other one show up in collector boosters because you know those will sell. You know, there's like the only way you can get a foil alternate art Darth Vader card is to buy the collector booster Star Wars set.
No,
otherwise,
it's a regular
card. You know,
college.
Yeah, it's some regular booster product where you know it's Darth Vader, but it's a different name. Da 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 da, and then they reskin it for the collector booster as Darth Vader, but it's actually this other card. But you can have it as your, you know, you can have it in your deck, whatever format, it's fine. But it's a real, and I hate having to do real Magic card because I feel that feels kind of elitist. But
you're elitist, let's be honest.
It's a normal card. You don't have to worry about cross IP, cross universe stuff
right.
being the norm instead of a special bonus. And that's the problem I have with it. It should just be a special bonus, not the norm.
And I don't think it's going to happen. Scuba, we play on Wednesdays. We'd love to have you, man. You're more than welcome. So that's kind of our combat. I mean, it wasn't much of a combat. We're both in the mind that this is not a good...
We're terrified.
This is not a good... I mean, it's a good thing. It's not a horrible thing. It's just a scary thing. And again,
it's another thing that they could have done better.
Right. So we'll see what happens. But let's go back to main here. We got some things to go over.
Main phase.
All right. So main two. This is where we tend to talk about state of standard. There's quite a bit of movement. Standard is standard's a little bit of all right now. Nothing too outrageous. Up till this morning, Mono Red Aggro was kind of leading the pack. But we've had a change even just today. You know, we do have some new decks out there. Obviously, you know, Naya Adventures is still a deck. But the big ones that I'm seeing out there right now, there's two. Well, Teemer Ramp, which is kind of an updated version of Ramp, living off the Genesis Ultimatum and, you know, using Obosh's Companion. And which is funny, they're still using the, like, if we had had this bet now, you'd totally win. Because there's
you
two
know what,
companion decks in top five.
And it's nice to see that despite the massive nerf, and I mean this is like the biggest
nerf in the history
of the game.
Yes,
I mean this is they took like one of the biggest nerf bats and just actually beat them into the ground with it, like Negan did to Glenn.
Wow, a little soon for that, man. It's only been 5 years.
But the fact that the companions are still playable and not broken. They're just good.
And I think they're just cards that sit in the background. I mean, and the other main deck that I'm seeing right now is Sultai Control, which is really Yorion. Which, you know, Yorion wasn't being used in Sultai Control. It was being used in more Azorius / you know,
or Bant.
Yeah. Bant control, but really they're like, hey, it's hybrid mana, so we can use blue.
Basically blue, yeah.
And that deck's scary. First of all, the ultimatums are freaking, man, like people are finally figuring out what to do with the ultimatums. And it's not pretty. unless you're playing
especially emergent ultimatum.
Yeah.
The difference now is that there's a lot of really good stuff you can dig for.
Yeah, emergent ultimatum is the thing that's kind of breaking a lot of things. First of all, the fact that you can pull, you know, Emergent Ultimatum lets you, pull?
Three monocolored cards.
Right, three monocolored cards, and then an opponent chooses any one of those cards, and that's the one you shuffle back. So you go get Valky, which is a black card, but really it's Tybalt, which again, I feel is wrong, because if you're doing monocolored, again, they're screwing it up. And Vorin collects... is, you know, and then Kiora Abyss the Sea God. Well, holy shit. Which one do you choose? This is Sophie's choice. Do I want an 8-8 sea monster and a 6-6 hasty trample jerky thing?
Which, by the way, because they come into play at the same time, means you get an 8-8 hexproof, 6-6 trample haste. Oh, and all of your stuff is tapped.
Right. Because here's the thing. You never go with Valky because Tibble comes in ultimated. So, yeah. I've been playing a lot of standard lately with mono red. Best of one because, you know, I'm playing it various times. And... Mm-hmm. You know, I faced this deck, and I think my win rate against this deck, I think I'm only at 60%. Because it's all a matter of, and you don't know you're playing this deck, and it's all a matter of making sure that I keep a curvy deck, a curvy hand. If I'm not keeping Fervent Champion, followed by a Robber of the Rich, followed by either an Annex or Bone Crusher, I'm dead. You know, unless I could put some serious... You get to turn six on that deck, I'm dead man. There ain't no way.
You know, that I'm looking at the current meta on Goldfish, and surprise to me, and part of me is actually glad to see it back. It's tied for fourth most played deck in the meta, is Jeskai Cycling.
Yeah, Jeskai Cycling's still a deck.
It's like, it just kind of reemerged and said, hey guys, I'm still viable
here. Well, people realize Riel is actually broken.
Riel is so good.
Like, this was not in the cycling deck, and then somebody put it in the cycling deck, and they're like, oh yeah.
This is disgusting.
I mean, Mono White Aggro 2 weeks ago came out pretty huge in the in quite a few things, and that's a pretty good deck. It can't people already figured it out. Again, Sultai Control is just because...
Well, it's because the Mono White deck can't deal with Archon of Absolution.
No, it can't. And... The mono white deck cannot deal with it. It's just, yeah. Teemer ramp is a standard ramp deck, but I mean, here's the thing. Standard is actually good again. Like, there is nothing that's really overly busted. Don't get me wrong. Every deck is using Eldraine cards like it's their job.
I mean, Eldraine was the most powerful set since Saga. You know,
like, the minute Eldraine leaves, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
That will be very interesting to see. I mean, it's just there's so much busted stuff in Eldraine.
Yeah, I mean, just to not have adventures, Hey, Nick, to not have adventures. I think Rogues will be going back to the top of the meta. But and I mean, here's the thing. The one thing about Rogues is that Rogues does die to mono red aggro pretty regularly. The mono red deck I've been playing, I've played Rogues, and I think I'm 80%. Because I'm just, you just can't, sure, mill me out. Mill out my Phoenix of Ash if you don't mind. So, what do you think? I mean, is there any other surprises in, like, the top 10? And yes, we're looking at MTG Goldfish, guys, so.
I mean, I don't think there's anything so much surprising. I think, and we've been saying this for a while now, Standard is in the best place it's been in at least the last year and change.
Right.
Since before Eldraine came in.
Well, I'm going to say since Eldraine came in, Oko broke everything.
Well, yeah, but since before that, because, I mean, they've banned about half the set since then. but Standard is finally in the spot where it's supposed to be, where you can bring pretty much what you want and have a chance. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing is that you're only playing in Arena, which is more competitive, more cutthroat, and harder to succeed in. If you were going to Friday Night Magics, you'd be having a blast, I think, with this. And I think that's part of the problem that Arena has, is that because there's no interaction, even though you're playing against another person, it doesn't really feel like it. So you lose out on a lot of what makes regular low-key tournaments at your local game store so much fun, where you can roll in with whatever deck you want, you can crush them or get crushed, but you're generally going to have a great time. Whereas you do this in Arena, you get salty because, you know, you're going to blame the shuffler
because
you kept
Friday
a two-land hand
magic
and not draw anything. You're going to, you know, say, oh, well, great, I have to play against, you know, Brian Kibler this round. This is fantastic.
Well, or even, you know, it's like playing on Arena too, it's like, there are certain things to think about. Like, okay, playing mono red, I'll keep a two-land hand in paper. I'll be like, yeah, I keep a two-land hand. I'll probably draw one, no problem. Keeping a two-land hand in Arena, we all know about the coding issues there.
And you're going to die.
Yeah, I mean, you're not seeing a third lens, you better damn well make sure that you have, you know, two robbers of the rich, two bone crusher giants, and a fervent champion. Otherwise,
you need
dead.
The robbers to steal their lands.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can play with the robber.
Things that are weird to me. I'm surprised that Rakdos midrange fell as far as it did. I thought Rakdos really got some great toys in this set, in Kaldheim, but I think it's tough to beat that control deck. I mean, if you're playing Rakdos midrange, you tend to be a control-y type player anyway, and Sultai control, again, it's hard to get over that.
Right.
And again, I was surprised to see Cycling back in the top five. And I'm surprised to see Mono Green Midrange go as down as far as it did. Vorinclex is just stupid. And
Vorinclex is an extremely good card, but I think it really only fits in, again, you have to be able to exploit either the counter abilities or just the fact that he's a big trampler.
Yeah, so, and again, I mean, Cycling is living and dying by Zenith Flare. Cycle, 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 Zenith Flare for 20, you know?
Well, it also has, you know, it also just values you out because you're always going to have a full grip with Cycling, and Flourishing Fox can get very big very fast.
Right. So Standard, again, is in a very good place. We're kind of very excited for it. You know, I'm enjoying it. I'm playing it a little bit. I've got to start playing Best of Three again to get my deck up to speed as far as what I'm going to play for the tournament in 2 weeks. Yeah, I miss Friday Night Magic, too. I miss playing paper. I miss going and sitting at a table.
Go get your vaccine, folks, once you can. As soon as you're able to, get your vaccine. We need Friday Night Magic to come back.
So the other big thing that came out that we're going to talk about here before we close up the show is anthologies. They're getting a Historic Anthology 4 is coming out. So I think it's coming March 11th.
Yeah, March 11th. So
which is
weekend.
3 days. So
yep. So Thursday.
Thursday. So, you know, and there's some pretty interesting things that we're getting some juicy additions to White. They said
ignored all besides Death Shadow.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's pretty much yeah. Well, getting Sword of Body and Mind is kind of good.
Mm-hmm. Bone Splitter's nice.
Bone Splitter's nice.
No, there's some good cards coming out, but I mean, Death Shadow just blows all that away.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because that you know that deck's going to show up very quickly. People are going to try to break that card again because it's good.
Well, the fact they're putting Abomination of Llanowar in, I'm kind of you know, I think Elves are going to be something again, and that's a great card for and Collected Conjuring. Give me a break, you know. But yes, Death Shadow is just yeah.
Harmless Offering is going to be interesting because that's a fun card to try to break. It's like, oh, look at this thing that hurts me so much. Why don't you try it?
I mean, I'm kind of surprised that they're using Ixalan and Amonkhet. Like, I'm like, if you wanted this in the set, like Flameblade Adept or Faith of the Devoted, why didn't you just put them in the anthologies for that?
Yeah, why are all these Kaladesh and Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation cards in this and not in the remastered sets to begin with? You know, I'm pretty sure you could have found spots. You know, there's a couple of Kaladesh cards in here that probably belonged in Kaladesh.
Flameblade Adept would be the one I would think of. Like, that was an
Inspiring Statuary. Why wasn't that in there?
Torment of Scarabs, which is Exelon, but, you know.
Ammit Eternal.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I mean,
just...
Half of the cards in this anthology, pretty much, it feels like, are from either Amonkhet, Kaladesh, or Hour of Devastation.
Inspiring Statuary. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I'll play it. I'll definitely get some, so I'll order the set. But
yeah, I'll probably pick it up with wild cards at some point.
Yeah, so... But that's kind of what's coming on that. So that's coming out this week. So Historic's going to get a little shot in the arm. I am a little, like I said, I'm a little disappointed that they're doing, like, I see some Ixalan cards in there, which is good. Or not Ixalan, Innistrad.
Yeah.
And I like seeing some of the commander type cards that they put out, like, you know, Triumphant Reckoning and things. But it's like Adorned Pouncer. I thought that was already in there. Adorned Pouncer's not in.
Yeah, they
that
they
should have absolutely been remastered. In there, because that's also a cat deck.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, they didn't have that, and they had Regal Caracal as like the buy a box card. And it's like,
yeah, I just used wild cards for that because Regal Caracal is a great card.
Yeah, and Adorn Pouncer is, you know, it's like that's a great early one, early drop for a white deck. But it's just, yeah, it's just it. Their card choices this time around are a little bit curious. Not necessarily bad, just curious, especially with the timing of other remastered sets that have just come out.
Yeah, it's almost like they were kind of like, we have to get something out, and we know that these are already coded. Because again, guys, don't forget, the original beta for Arena had Amonkhet, Hours of Devastation, and Kaladesh in it. These were coded already.
Yep.
Like, they have done no coding. They're not getting us any closer to Pioneer, really, except for some of these Innistrad cards. But again, those were already coded as well.
Yeah, those were in the alpha, right?
Yeah, Eldritch Moon was alpha, yeah. So, yeah. Whatever.
It's more cardboard, we'll buy it.
Whatevs. Well, paper cardboard, or fake cardboard.
Digital cardboard digital that we cardboard, have no rights to whatsoever. The second they turn off the lights, we lose everything.
Right. So, nothing's going on in the chat. Carrie Weaver said anything would be good in Kithril Aspect Warper. I have no idea what any of those words mean. And Aramis is looking it up because he doesn't either.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up now.
Right. So, go ahead and do that, but, you know, take a look at that, but... yes, we want to remind you guys about Wednesday, too. Don't forget.
Oh, it's one of the commanders.
Oh, yeah, I actually have that card.
You have that deck. Cathrill, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I have her.
Duh.
But,
listen, I've had a long day.
Wednesday's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you tune in. It's going to be week three of our league. I think, did Anthony pull ahead now?
Anthony, I believe, pulled ahead. Let me just pull that up real
fast. I'm in second, though.
You are in second place, I believe, only by a point. Yeah, Anthony pulled ahead with 19 points because of his strong showing on last Wednesday by killing two players, killing someone with commander damage, and also winning the game.
Right.
So he's at 19 points. You are in second place with 17 points. I have 13 points. Nick has 8 points. Steve has 4 points. And anybody else who wants to join and get some points.
Yeah, so Scuba, you're more than welcome to join us this week. We'll make Anthony sit out. Because we made Steve sit out last week.
Well, he has to. Anthony has to play because he won.
That's right. So we might have to make Steve sit out another week. Oh!
You just don't want to play against that deck.
Because he has such a mad on for me.
Yeah, you are in his crosshairs big time.
No, Aramis doesn't sit out. Aramis and I are the hosts of the show. That's a rule I came up with. It's Aramis and I are always... In whose line is it anyway? Colin and Ryan are always on stage. Wayne and the other two guys, they rotate in and out. But, you know, you go with your money. Right here. We're the money. That's right. Also because I do the broadcasting. Otherwise, I'd be willing to sit. But
yeah, I mean, it's more feasible that I could sit out and just keep score for a game. But I generally...
Yeah, but I do feel like since it's a Planeswalkers playcast and you are the Planeswalker host that...
Yeah. I mean, every now and then on game nights, either Jimmy or Josh aren't there.
True.
But there's always one of them.
Yes. And what I'll probably do is I might make it this week so that instead of using Spell Tables audio, I may set it up in Discord so that we can have Steve pop in and, you know, maybe Nick or other guys can kibitz and watch. And, you know, we'll still use Spell Table to stream, but be using Discord for audio so that, you know, we can kind of have a little fun with that. So,
yeah.
All right, so we might as well get to it. Let's go to End Step.
End Step.
So, while Aramis and I are picking up our cards and putting them in the boxes, rolling up our play mats, and taking the pizza boxes over to the garbage, because damn it, your mother still does not work in this game store. Not that we've been to a game store. We want to remind you guys that we do have a Twitch channel where we stream all sorts of content. So, just look up the Planeswalkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Our handle there is Planeswalkers Podcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at MindCrime73. Nick, take care and be ready Wednesday, man. We might need you. So,
yeah, absolutely. If you'd rather, it's my turn to not be able to talk. I just had 7-Up-0 sugar. I didn't do anything with the sauce.
You should have some sauce.
I should have some sauce. Jeez. Anyway, if you'd rather interact with us more in like a real-time fashion, you can join our Discord at discord.planeswalkerspodcast.com. That's an HTTPS, so make sure you do it that way.
Right.
And if Twitter is more your speed, you want to follow the show that way. Our handle on Twitter is at PlanesTalkerPod.
And you can follow me on Twitter as well at WRBenson. I don't tweet all that often. But just go to, also you can go to Facebook.com/PlanesTalker. That's our main Facebook page there. It's not Planestalkers because somebody took that from us. So it's just facebook.com/Planestalker. Like and follow the page. Anything we do, we've gotten pretty good about being cross-platform. So when we go live, we're going live on Twitch. We're going live on Facebook. We're going live on YouTube. When we make an announcement, it tends to go across all of our stuff. So you can follow us all over the interwebs and get all of your Planestalker needs. So go check that out. The Planestalker Playcast is on Wednesdays. We do play Paper Commander. I'm not sure what deck I'm playing this week. I thought about trying my Negan deck out just for kicks. Yeah. I don't think it's ready for primetime yet, though. So we do tune in for that Wednesday nights. We play Paper Commander. We're in leagues now. We're in Season 2. So I'm in second place. I'll be back in first this week. So tune in Wednesday night around 7 Eastern, usually 7, between 7 and 7:30. Sometime in there we start rolling. And we'd love to see you there. So again, Wednesday night.
And finally, you can send us emails if you have questions about or suggestions for a topic that we can cover for the show, or even just to say, hey, you know what, let us know what's going on. You want to send an email to the main podcast that will go to both of us. The address for that is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to email us individually, you can email Will. His address is will@planestalkerspodcast.com. And then you can email me, and my address is aramis@planestalkerspodcast.com.
Absolutely. And I think somebody actually did email us, so I'm just trying to go find that real quick. Because I think, you know, we do tend to read anything you guys send us. So, hold on, let me real quick just see if somebody sent us one here. Anchor. It might have been two weeks ago here. Pretty sure somebody emailed us about, like, ideas about Commander, or, which is funny because, well, you know, we're a standard podcast, but we play a lot of Commander. Oh, Jamie Dixon, yeah. Jamie sent this in to us on Wednesday, 2/17, so sorry, it's taken us a bit to read this. He said, good afternoon, lads. I'm just wondering if you guys would discuss card evaluation more, especially in casual formats, or even deck ideas or themes for the players who are disenfranchised or just not wanting to spike tournaments and have a night in with friends when it's safe to do so. What strategies are not fun to play against? Control. Always control.
If you're
or
casual,
prison.
Yeah. Or mill.
Or mill. Control, prison, or mill. What's fun to play against? Aggro. Aggro's always fun. Mid-range is always fun.
Mid-range, combo.
What power level of cards should you use? Can natural deck builders abuse their talents, or should additional handicaps be imposed on those more adept at their craft? Listen, everybody's net decking, Jamie. Let's be honest. Everybody's net. Even the people that are like, I don't net deck. Bullshit, you net deck. I have been playing EDH over webcam, and I have been unbeaten for 3 weeks now in my playgroup. Jamie? Challenge accepted. Feel free to come on over here. We'll let you play against Steve. It'll be the funnest night ever. It's getting frustrating because I keep swapping out my decks and I get the same results. This is an issue as I don't care for winning as much as everyone having fun. Boy, you and Steve really do need to hang out more. Because I think he just cares about winning as much as... No, he's one of the best at making sure everybody's having a good time. But he also wants to kill your face off. I love Steve. My friends are tilted that even in the arch enemy scenarios, our games turn out to be, I still come out on top. Did you find that? It's from 2/17. It should be.
Yeah, I'm reading it.
I play mono white T-Shar Kark Clan. You play in Ironworks? Yeah, no wonder they're mad.
Yeah, Ironworks eggs decks are not. Yeah.
This deck gets insane value from the graveyard, often recurring cards that return artifacts to my hand, and I sacrifice them to draw cards. Selfless Spirit is an MVP against aggro decks.
Because it makes everything indestructible.
Yeah, I have Rashmi Telepathy Control, cast Telepathy, and then I have perfect information on my opponent's hands, and I can line my board wipes, removals, and counter magic.
You're wondering why you're winning. We're honestly not trying to make fun of you, dude.
No,
I mean,
this is
but
just...
But for sure, if you have all the answers, of course you're going to win.
No, don't get me wrong. Your friends should be, like, trying to build graveyard hate. Like, there is tons of graveyard hate. Torment's Crypt. What's the Leyline of Sanctity?
Bajookabog.
Like, there's plenty of ways to take care
rest
of your graveyard.
Peace.
Huh?
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. Oh. Rest in peace would be ideal.
Well, I mean, Stony Silence would do really good against his deck, too.
Yeah. What's the one that puts everything in the graveyard going forward? It's not Rest in Peace, I thought. Or is it Rest in Peace? I'm thinking Path to Exile. Both of them do that. Yeah, yeah. So, and he's like, my pet deck is Endrixar Altars, Phyrexian and Ashnod. It's a mid-range deck that plays fair. It sacrifices the tokens or blocks to either make mana or draw cards. Deck finds a loop where I have a synergy that lets me draw my deck and aristocrat my opponents out. I cast and sacrifice Ul'Dabaoth.
That's not fair. Shuffle
the yard back into the deck to stop my...
When someone says they're playing fair Magic, that means they're not adding extra mana. That means they're not drawing extra cards. They're basically just draw, play, go. Draw, play, go. They're not generating insane value. If you're running off Phyrexian and Ashnod's Altar, you're not playing fair.
Jamie, you're
generating value.
Jamie, I take it back. You're not invited to our Wednesday playcast. I'm kidding. You totally should come. I would almost, honestly, that is a game I would sit out. I would be like, nah, you and Steve go at it. Steve, bring your EDH deck. Let's see what happens. He's like, I have Saheeli Ray Lattice. I play a ton of mana rocks. Use Saheeli to give my spells affinity for artifacts and cast draw X spells for X equals 15. What would you guys recommend to give the fellas a win or two to keep them playing? Just go buy a precon. That would be your best bet.
Play a precon and just basically swap out the mana base.
Right. Precon, swap your mana base. If you want it to be, you seem like a combo / like it broken and you kind of want to have a win con that's broken.
I mean, Commander's the format of broken shit.
Yeah.
It is.
What's the one there that I play?
Omnath?
No, not Omnath.
Atraxa?
Not Atraxa. You know what? Don't be like that. Kalamax would be a fun deck that you could probably have some fun with.
Yeah, given the way that he plays so far, I could see that becoming absolute hell for the rest of the table.
Well, no, because again, yeah, if he's only swapping out the mana base, okay, he's not putting in crazy shit, then it takes him a while to get there.
But isn't Kalamax the deck that has the Fierce Guardianship?
Yeah.
Or is that, no, that's the different one. That's the egg tender person.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be my suggestion, is take a precon, not one of the ones that have been coming out lately, like grab an Ikoria precon. Don't grab Atraxa.
If you can find it.
Yeah. So, but yes, guys, we read everything you send us. Jamie's one of our old-time listeners, one of my favorites. I'm going to let him know we read his stuff on air and gave him some advice. I would love to have him sit in. I think he's in London, though. I think he's 5 hours ahead of us. So, yeah.
That'd be a late night for him.
Yeah, it would. But he'd probably... how bad do you want to see him play Steve, though? I kind of want to see it now.
I kind of want to see it, too, because I know he would either destroy us or he's just,
I'll take the destruction. Honestly, I'd probably be like, turn three, concede. Aramis would be like, concede. You two fight it out.
I mean, I'd have to play Zakama, right?
Oh, God, yes. I'd have to probably play Omnath. I think Omnath is replaced Atraxa as my best deck. So... I don't know. Would you?
I mean, if he's willing to take Thursday off,
yes,
from work, if he's working, and he wants to sit in for a late night, grab a couple of energy drinks, I will be more than happy to have him on and just have him gunsling just to see what the hell he's bringing to the table.
And that would be too. I'd be like, Anthony, you're sitting out because I got it. Steve's been waiting. This would be a present to Steve because Steve's been waiting for this. Like Steve's got that broken mana base of his. He's got the original duels and stuff.
He wants another Titan to come in and fight.
Honestly,
so me and you are sitting there going, wow, look at that, and just trying not to get stepped on.
Yeah, it's seriously, I would totally be all about that. I mean, I'll make a fun of it while we're playing it and be like, what the hell is this? This is ridiculous. But on the inside, I'm like, okay, so yes, so send us emails. We will read them on the show. We also want to remind you guys to check out iTunes reviews. We really need those. They help the show out a ton. Listen, if you don't want to be a patron, I get it, okay? I understand. This is a weird time. And, some people just, they're like, I ain't paid for my podcasts. All right, I get it, okay? I understand. I'm with you. I understand it. I mean, I pay for podcasts. I'm patronizing a few. But, hey, to each their own. The ones I don't patronize, though, but the ones I listen to, I make sure I go through iTunes and I leave them a 5-star review. Why? Because it helps bring more eyes to their show and it helps, expand their show's audience. So we want to ask each of you, if you're listening to this and you enjoy the show but you don't want to be a patron, or even if you do, go to iTunes, leave us a review. But Will, I have an Android phone. I don't have iTunes. Well, you probably have a Windows computer. No, I don't. Well, shit. But for those of you that do, just download iTunes to your Windows machine and go there, look up our podcast in the store, you know, and leave us a review. 5 stars. I read every single one on the show. One guy gave us a 4-star. I talked him into a 5. I'll do it to you too. So, but 5-star reviews are actually the most helpful. If you can't leave us one, then email us. Let us know why. We can make changes to anything. I understand sometimes we wax off topic, but so I really, again, want to just say thank you and remind you guys as well that I do host another podcast. It deals with the television show DC's Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends TV Talk. Look up facebook.com/LegendsTVTalk. Obviously, we're on hiatus right now. Flash just came back, but Legends won't be back probably till sometime this summer. So, but we do some other things in there with Minecraft and stuff, but we're running a bit over. So at this point,
end step.
We just did that.
We did.
We want to say thank you guys for listening tonight. It's really good to be back. It's good to be behind the mic. We'll be back next Monday, as always, hopefully, to talk about all the new Magic news. We'll be back Wednesday night to deal with the Playcast, where it should be Aramis and I and 2 other listeners. If you want to join us, please send us an email. We'd love to have you. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the show tonight. And we want to remind you to keep some of your mana untapped because you never know when you'll need it. Take care and have a great week. Bye-bye. Yeah. Yeah.